Hey, everybody. Before we start the show today, I wanted to talk to you about the paywall. I didn't want to bog down this episode with all the specifics and everything, so I recorded a special episode, kind of like a very special episode of Blossom, where you live, you learn, and there's a hug at the end that kind of talks about the paywall, our feelings about it, where we're going with it, all that sort of good stuff. You can listen to it right now. It's available right now, and you can understand what is going on and the changes that we have made. So check that out, and hopefully that will answer all of your questions. Now, let's get that out of the way and start talking about the new cool things. I'm talking about the new year, right? Many of you have resolved to take on a new challenge, like starting a business, changing careers, or launching a creative project. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Whatever your next move might be, you got to tackle it with Squarespace. Unless, of course, it's murder. They don't want you to set up a website with that. It not only is it something that Squarespace is not behind. Squarespace is not behind murder, but it's also bad for you as far as alibis and stuff. If you have a website saying, I'm going to murder this person, I'm going to tell you, the case closed. It's going to be a very simple closed door shut case. Anyway, so if you need a landing page, a professional blog, or an online store, Squarespace allows you to create a custom platform where you can make your latest goals into a reality. So start your free trial today at squarespace.com and enter the offer code BONKERS, that's BONKERS, to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace. Make your next move, as long as it's not murder. Do you want to upgrade your day? Oh, of course you do. We all want to upgrade our day. Well, then I'm going to tell you, you got to upgrade your day by getting the Dunkin' Donuts Perks app, okay? The Dunkin' Donuts Perks app offers on-the-go ordering, so you can order ahead from your phone and speed past the line at the store. So you can just basically give the finger to everyone in line and be like, fuck you, y'all. I'm getting my donuts and coffee. Suck it. I love this app because simply you just go on there, you choose what you want, you can even pay from your phone, you can get special offers, free beverages, and a little special treat on your birthday. That's right. So give yourself an upgrade today by downloading the Dunkin' app and enrolling in DD Perks. Enter the code PODCAST, you know how to spell podcast, I don't have to spell it for you, and enjoy a free Dunkin' beverage. So enter the code PODCAST and you're going to get a free Dunkin' beverage. Speeding past the line may not be available at all locations. Visit ddperks.com for terms and conditions. A famous Highlander once said, there can only be one. Unfortunately, the producers of this movie did not listen to that Highlander. We saw Highlander 2, The Quickening, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado, the Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth. And hello, people of Largo. Welcome. Welcome. We are here at Largo at the Coronet, our LA home for our live shows, and we are so excited to talk to you about another sequel. Following in the brave footsteps of Grease 2, a sequel made about years late and not asked for. But unlike Grease 2, this movie makes zero sense. So, here to help me dissect Highlander 2, The Quickening, I will tell you, I have some amazing people. Number one, please welcome Jason Mantzoukas! What's up, jerks? What's up, Jason?
How are you, Paul?
I am excited.
Oh, thrilled to be here.
Very rarely backstage do we stop ourselves from even, we couldn't even talk about this on the basis of levels backstage.
I came in hot. I was like, I want to talk about this as of right now, starting go.
You were talking about it in your car on the way over.
Talking to myself. Just ranting and raving.
Probably like the screenwriter.
Why can't I get porcupine hair? It's one of the things I said to myself.
Well, we will find out that and much more. Oh, I thought there was something coming from my computer. I got nervous. But first, let me introduce my other co-host, the wonderful, the talented, the June Diane Raphael! Welcome! Welcome, June!
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Very well. How are you? June, I will say...
Backstage, too, you guys introduced yourselves to each other.
Yeah.
June and I's relationship is... How many introductions would you say do we give each other in a day? Like a random day? 12?
About 12.
Just to be clear, is introductions a euphemism?
No, it's, you know, they say it's like the key to a successful marriage, to really see someone anew every time.
Identify yourself at all points.
Yep.
I'll say, hey, June, it's Paul. And she'll say, it's just June. And we'll move on with our day.
In backstage, you were like, I think we've met before.
She looks damn familiar to me.
You'll place me sometime.
I will say, June, I'm not saying that I was above it at all. But watching this movie with you was particularly enjoyable simply because it was like watching a person who never has studied take an SAT. And there was frustration, and there was anger, and there was yelling.
Yeah.
We'll get into it.
This is what I'll say.
I feel like it's the picture of the woman in Times Square in Westworld. Like, it caused you to short circuit.
What? I kept on saying, I mean, I don't know how many times I said to you, do you know what's going on? Like, I felt very scared that I had missed so much. But here's the thing. I didn't understand any of it, but I also didn't care to understand it.
Yeah.
That's the other part of that. And it's so important. I didn't care to. And that's what made me angry.
Well, buckle up. Joining us tonight... a very special guest. You've seen him in the movie Office Christmas Party. You can watch him on the television show Veep. He has a brand new Comedy Central show called The Detroiters coming out in February. Please welcome Sam Richardson.
Hi.
Welcome. Nice. Welcome, Sam, and I apologize, because this is a tougher movie than we normally do.
I don't know what it was. It could have been forwards or backwards.
I, at some point, wrote, was this cut out of order?
I wrote...
Michael Ironsides appears to be able to be everywhere at once.
I wrote down this, and Michael I mean it with 100% sincerity. This is not for comedic effect. Majority of this film, I spent not understanding anything that was going on.
Okay, well, I'm so happy to hear that for this very reason. Early on into the movie, I realized something very important.
Okay.
I have never seen Highlander.
Yeah.
As such, I was like, oh, this must be all Highlander stuff that I'm not aware of because I didn't see Highlander.
Now it's
all
insider
jokes. I'm glad to hear
that
you guys also felt like it was absolute gobbledygook.
Well, let me tell you something, Jason.
Tell me, Paul.
If you were a Highlander fan, you also would not understand
it. Okay,
good.
Because
apparently what has happened is they decided, well, yeah, Highlander was good, but we can't just continue those characters. Let's just get rid of everything that we set up and create a brand new world.
Does Highlander take place in 2024?
No.
What?
This
is not the world of the first movie?
Not at all. I'm being very serious.
Whoa!
There is nothing about this movie like technically
Does
a
the
sequel.
The first movie travel time?
Well, the first movie goes back to the days of
olden
actual
days.
Highlanders.
Yes.
Okay. But then it's 1985. and then like the 1500s or
right. Yeah, they go like they're in like the Scottish
like
Highlands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like the, Scotsman.
But sometimes gotcha. When they're in the Scottish Highlands, he's got a machine gun.
That made no sense.
I couldn't crack that at all.
Well,
that was like some Zardoz level nonsense.
Well, it's interesting.
But it isn't.
Well,
whatever's about to follow, I guarantee is not interesting.
Well, here's what I will put down, and I'll just throw it out there because I think it's worthy because there's probably some people who watch the Renegade Edition, which is the director's cut, and there's some people who probably just watched regular Highlander 2, The Quickening. Oh, the big difference.
By the way, this all makes me sick. Like, all these words make me fucking sick. Fucking hate this. I hate it.
Oh, the big difference that they made with this movie was that in the sequel, the Highlanders are from the planet Zeist, and they are coming from another planet to come to Earth.
What?
Yes. Now, the wait, Renegade
this,
cut
that's this
cuts
movie?
That out. Yes. Yeah. They don't.
Wait,
in this movie, they shot it, in theory, going interplanetary travel?
Yes.
As well as time travel?
So the Highlanders live in another planet,
they
and
do.
They come here.
So they don't live in the Scottish Highlands.
Which,
they
not
live
like by the way,
movie.
That,
like
that, might, movie. Yeah. That might explain oh, why I he see. Had a machine gun. Because that was not
yeah,
olden
that
days. That was current.
Current Zeist days.
Current Zeist
yeah.
days, just on another planet.
Now,
okay.
See, I didn't know that watching this. And I'm so glad that all this, because I was watching that movie like, I'm going to do a bad job with this because I'm the only one who doesn't understand
nope.
what's happening.
No,
I
this
felt
is, yeah.
like I didn't understand why Christopher Lambert was old.
Lambert.
I didn't understand why he kept falling asleep in the opera. I didn't understand why the opera was being terribly lip-synced.
Terrible. Like, they spent so much money on that opera house, that stage.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just get the fucking opera singer.
Just sing the just, fucking
exactly.
song. And then I also felt like he was flashing back to this other, now I'm realizing, planet where he is like the Neo of the
well,
Highlanders.
Mm-hmm. But the Renegade
this better
cut
be interesting.
Cuts the Renegade cut does not allow you in on that fact. Like,
oh.
like you can't
what
get
is the
that.
Renegade cut?
The one that we watch. That's the director's version. The
Wait,
director was
you
four.
Watched Renegade?
The best. Lorenzo Lamas? No. No, the
wait, that's the cut you watched, I mean?
Well, that's what it's called. The Renegade cut.
Cut.
If you watched it on iTunes.
I didn't.
Okay.
Oh. I didn't. I watched it on Hulu.
Oh. You might have watched. Well, we'll find it. Well, if you don't know about the Zeist, do you know about Zeist?
I know nothing about
I
Zeist.
Don't know
you
probably anything watched, about Zeist.
Then if you don't, if you watch the Renegade cut,
oh.
you don't know about
okay,
Zeist.
Okay, yeah. Oh. I didn't, okay. I was like,
Paul, what is Zeist?
What
is Zeist?
I will just
a lot
say,
of words this, I didn't
just
know.
Just so you
here.
Understand like what's going on here that makes a
well,
difference.
If you say Zeist again, I'm going to punch you right in the right in the nose.
I don't want to hear Zeist. I don't want to hear Renegade. I don't want to hear Quickening. I don't want to hear Highlander.
We're
gonna have
we
a tough time.
There, when we were over there watching the trailer and it goes, Highlander 2, The Quickening. June goes, The Quickening? Didn't know that was the name of the movie. And I was like, I get it. Why would you?
Well, let's hear what the producer has to say about this movie and how you can enjoy it.
It's a sequel because the characters do pick up 25 years later from when the first movie ended. And we had to resolve those issues. But it's also a picture that stands completely by itself. It is a story that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, leaves us with an opening to go forward again for another picture. But if you've never seen the first Highlander, you should be able to, we felt, watch this one, understand it, and enjoy it.
You
wrong.
Absolutely not.
You can tell he's like sick of asking that question. Like,
I feel like he's...
I don't know. Well, here's the problem. Then the first movie, Sean Connery dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that, yeah.
That's a big like part of the movie.
Yeah. And in the second movie, Christopher Lambert was like, well, I like Sean Connery. We should bring him back. And they're like, well, he's dead. He's like, well, I won't make this movie. And they're like, all right, we'll bring him back.
Yeah. Was Highlander 2 that big of a success?
No.
I mean, Highlander 1, I'm sorry. Did it necessitate this kind of, like, everybody was clamoring for that Highlander sequel?
I don't have that research in front of me. I would imagine that people wanted. I mean, Highlander seems like a movie people talk about.
People talk about it. It had a great Queen soundtrack. Everybody loved. You know, but I don't know if the TV show was inspired by, like, The Quickening or if it was from...
What was the Highlander about?
Sam, you could probably take
that. Yeah, I think... I'll down on the explanation hat. Connor McLeod.
Played by Christopher Lambert.
was a Scottish Highlander and the leader of a tribe. I can't remember the name of the tribe, but they're warring with another tribe. He's in war.
The Clan McLeod.
That's the name of his clan, and he's fighting with Clan other guy. And then in a battle, he gets harmed, and then he recovers overnight, and everybody's like, oh, he's a witch. Turns out he's one of these Highlanders who cannot die unless their heads are removed.
But he didn't know that.
He didn't know.
So he's just finding out in the moment.
He's like, "What? Wait a minute, what's all this?
Uh-oh, zoinks, I'm immortal."
And he like...
And then how does he get to 1985?
He's been living lives, not dying. And the way it is, it's like two Highlanders, there can be only one. That means, so like, it's hard to explain.
Don't worry about it. One of these fucking nerds will help us.
I know.
If we need it.
I want to see if I can do this. So like, they have to all, there's a bunch of Highlanders who are these immortal beings who like, but then they do battle because there can be only one. They have to, so they all fight each other over time, and they kill each other by removing their heads. And then what happens is the quickening, where like electricity goes and they gain like
power
from these.
So they take like the essence of the dead Highlander.
Yeah, I hear people like, no, am I wrong? Is that not right? Yes. Okay, all right.
Something's feeling right about
you know?
This.
So they basically just took...
This isn't helping me understand the movie I watched any better. But, like, thank you.
So Sean Connery's head is chopped off at the end of that movie?
Yes, because he's a Spaniard who comes
Ramirez.
Who comes to, like, teach him the ways of the Highlander.
He is not a Spaniard at all.
And he teaches him, like, about Highlandering. And then has his head chopped off as a huge, like, you know.
Yeah, right. That's a moment.
Like, oh, no, now I've got to avenge my master.
It's like the Obi-Wan Kenobi moment. Just a couple more questions.
Yes, exactly.
A couple more questions.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So, like, on a day-to-day basis, like, what does a Highlander do?
Like, it's a lot of, like, wrist training for, like, a lot of spins like this.
They're warriors, though.
They're warriors.
They're warriors. It's like conditioning.
But then when not Highlanding, they are titans of industry and developing earth-protecting shields.
Well, no, that's what I'm trying to get at, which is like, what do they want out of life? You know, what do they...
They just want to keep that head on, baby. Keep that head on.
So they're living a life of fear, knowing at one point someone's going to come around and try to chop their head off.
Try to chop the head off. That's why you always have a sword on.
You have to be a Highlander to fight a Highlander. Like, you don't take on a Highlander to gain immortality. You have to be also immortal.
Yeah, I think you already have to be in the club. You can't get it. You can't get access to it from the outside.
So with this phrase, there can only be one. Sorry, Paul.
So yes. Please. So they have to battle each other until
there's one left.
There's one left, and then they win what's called the prize.
What? What? The prize?
Okay. Yeah, and I'm murky on what the prize is.
Does anyone know the prize?
Mortality. That's right, mortality. Because also
so you can die.
I would imagine that most of them are tired of living.
Yes.
And would like love all of to. Us. Yeah. But why? Hey. Okay. Another question. If I'm a Highlander and I want to, you know, end it all, I can't kill myself via like decapitation.
I don't think they addressed it in the film.
The suicidal tendencies of Highlanders.
Highlanders.
So that movie takes this beautiful history and flushes it down the toilet. They just keep the head knocking off part of it. Like, that's really the only part that we really get, I guess.
Wow, that is wild.
And the names.
And the names.
Because he doesn't even seem to be that surprised when Sean Connery pops up. And they're like, oh, yeah, your head got You know, there was no.
And like, he's like,
hey!
Whoops, here I am.
Ramirez, my old friend.
Can I ask another very basic question about this movie? Why do they want the shield down?
Okay, this is now about the sequel. Mm,
okay.
I'm sorry.
I understand that. So basically, this will help us because again, it's one of those movies like when you see in the beginning, this is become a trope of a How Did This Get Made movie where the opening text makes a lot more sense at the end of the movie. And I feel like they should replay the opening text maybe midway through or at the end to be like, oh, right, yeah.
Every 10 minutes, just pop that thing up there.
Yeah. More text crawls is what this needed. It needs to be like a silent movie. Just like indiscriminately throughout the movie, just text blocks.
Well, I mean,
the year is 2024.
So the first one, the year is 2024. The second one, industrial pollution has destroyed the ozone layer, leaving the planet at the mercy of the sun's ultraviolet rays. An electromagnetic shield now protects
the
Earth.
Which, by the way, is also in Escape from LA.
Yes.
The same idea of like the UV tomorrow is going to be real bad.
It's right all there. I mean, this is what everyone's afraid of, the UV rays. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it goes, a small group believes that the ozone layer has repaired itself and that the shield is no longer necessary. But no one knows for sure.
No, I read that, Paul. I got that.
You got that?
I got that.
So?
So, I understand that they're not sure, but what I don't understand is why that other guy is keeping the shield up if there's no, like, what are they gaining from it?
Oh,
is it
money? Yeah. I think, you're talking about the bad guy.
John McGinley.
Yeah. John McGinley, yeah. He's making money. His company makes money.
So, okay, I guess here's the question. Are we to believe that the world has fallen into, that people are, you know, just turned into animals and there's despair everywhere because of this shield?
Well,
because they can't see the sky?
I do think that that is a little bit what, what's her name, Louise?
Yes.
Says to him is like, that nobody has seen the sun, like nobody, like everybody.
And when he talks
about
that,
when she talks about
seen.
The sun, she almost gets like real horn dog for it. Like she's like, oh, tell me about the clouds.
And well, that's like foreplay for them.
And what, did video cassette players or DVD players not exist? Like, could they not watch?
Go back and look.
Yeah, I feel like there'd be a book around or
like
something.
A picture
yeah.
or something.
I mean, they've got TVs in their cars. You'd think they'd have a way to watch stuff from the past. It's 2024.
So, okay, right? I guess the other question is, so how is the corporation making money off the shield?
Charging countries.
Oh.
For protection. It's protection money.
Ozone protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
but then that shield comes down. But it's tough because that's one of five plots that are running concurrently and told to you with not the proper backstory.
And
in the beginning, Christopher Lambert is doing his best Jean-Claude Van Damme doing an old man, which is like, talking like this.
But like still the same speed that he would speak in as a young man.
Yeah.
But
But that
I remember back in the day.
But when he has to move, he is sprightly.
Yeah.
because in the beginning, like you see him look down at this old man and he kind of tips his opera goggles to him. But we don't know who the
opera
fuck
goggles.
That is.
Opera goggles.
Right? Does he have goggles or is it glasses?
Did you bring your opera goggles?
Sorry, it was glasses. It was glasses.
I want to be able to see the opera that's happening underwater.
It's 2024. You love that shit.
Opera goggles
underwater opera.
2024.
That's why it looked like it was dubbed. So Christopher Lambert, so he's old at this point. Now, just to go back to the first movie.
Okay, yeah.
Do they get old?
No, but he won the prize, right? Is that right? So he won the prize.
Get old.
So now he ages and
so when he gets that cut on his hand and he sees it heal like Wolverine, he's like shit.
He's like shit. Here we go again. Essentially, is what he's.
And there's no reason to why he lost the prize.
Yeah, yeah.
No, in this thing, they say the priest. Say to Michael Ironside, right?
Yes.
Both of these movies have like all of my favorite character actors from
the best
era. Because I watched this one first, Michael Ironside, and I was like, oh yeah, Michael Ironside's the original Powers Booth. And then in the next movie, Stacy Keach, and I was like, Stacy Keach, the original Powers Booth. I was like, these are titans of villainous character actors from the 80s and 90s.
There's so much, and I think John C. McGinley falls in that category too. So much beautiful scene chewing. It's like, ha ha! And even Sean Connery is like, fuck it!
People are acting their asses off in this movie.
But the priests say to Michael Ironside, he's not chosen whether he's going to grow old and die or whether he's going to come back here, which is apparently something called Zeiss, which is where they are, and I'm assuming fight Michael Ironsides for supremacy, right?
Yeah, I guess that's part of the thing.
Here's my question. When after that moment, when he gets zapped...
Then Michael Ironsides is like, well, I guess I'll go to him then.
Right, but when he gets zapped, he's going to the future, correct? Uh-huh.
Correct.
So he's not aging... Okay.
Yeah.
He starts aging in the future from whatever age he was at the moment he was zapped into that.
Correct.
Place.
I think at that point, I'm assuming, well, at that point, when there's two Highlanders, aren't they both immortal?
Yes.
I mean, there can only
here's
be one.
The thing. I think we're going to be unsatisfied if we think we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, here's why we'll never figure it out. They shot three endings. There are three cuts of this movie, and the director left at a certain point. So there are some giant plot holes in it. As a matter
when
of fact,
when he kills both the Porcupine Boys, and the what I've now found out is the quickening happens, and he absorbs their power.
Mm-hmm.
There is an explosion of energy all around him. Windows, cars explode. Windows are blown out.
Yes.
The number of civilian casualties that must have died simply so that he could become young, handsome Lambert again.
It was worth it.
And it seems like it both hurts him when the quickening happens, and it seems like he's coming.
Which is like sex.
Yeah.
That is sex.
Oh, yeah!
Hey, everybody. I want to talk to you about our good old friends at Blue Apron. That's right. Blue Apron knows that every human needs food to live. That's right. We need it. And they're going to make it easy for you to get it. Here's the deal. Everyone wants to cook. Everybody wants to go to the store. Everyone wants to live a life. But ultimately, we turn into those monsters who just order pizza and be like, ah, it was so delicious. But what if we could take the guesswork out of cooking? What if you got a box at your house full of delicious food? Food that was actually having a positive impact on the community. I'm talking about seafood that is sourced sustainably. I'm talking about beef raised humanely. I'm talking about regenerative farming practices for all their produce. Plus, it doesn't matter if you're in like a big city. Blue Apron will deliver this amazing box of food to almost everywhere in the United States. Literally 99.5% of the United States is covered by Blue Apron, okay? And you get the exact amount that you need for a recipe to make delicious stuff like seared pork chops with farro and cranberry chutney. You got spaghetti squash and marinara with mushrooms and garlic knots, spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage and funraki. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but I'm going to serve it to you. You're like, how did you know about funraki? Look, here's the thing. We all know that cooking makes families stronger, makes relationships better, because people are impressed when you can actually do something. Sure, you may not know how to change the oil on your car, but you know how to cook some funraki. Anyway, check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free. That's three free meals with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/bonkers. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait. Go to blueapron.com/bonkers, blueapron.com/bonkers. Three meals on us. It's a better way to cook. Today's episode is also brought to you by Squarespace. That's right. Whether you're planning to start a new business, change careers, or launch a creative project in the new year, tackle your next move with Squarespace. It's widely used by all kinds of people and businesses. Squarespace gives you the ability to create an online platform which you can make your latest goals into a what? Reality. That's right. So whether you need a landing page, a beautiful gallery, a professional blog, or an online store, it is all included in your Squarespace website. How fucking great is that? Plus, Squarespace offers a unique domain experience that's fully transparent and simple to set up. I know, I've done it. PaulShear.com, check it out. I made it there. It looks awesome. You can add and arrange your content and features with a click of a mouse. Plus, it looks actually really good when you're on a phone or on an iPad. I love it because all I want is a clean web presence. And you should have one too, no matter what you do, because people are going to Google you. So why don't you get out in front of that information before someone else, you know, sends an old page from like your high school where you're like, I don't know, like chugging beers or like, you know, dressed up in some sort of compromising Halloween costume. Here's the deal. If you have questions, you can turn to Squarespace's award-winning 24/7 customer support. No matter how technical or trivial sounding your problems are, believe me, I've done it. I can tell you that. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to get 10% off your first purchase. I realize I'm always spelling bonkers to you. Like, you can't spell bonkers. I have more belief in you than that. That's bonkers for 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, make your next move your next website.
Just take a listen to this. This is another clip from the documentary of the making of this movie about the actors understanding the movie.
I'd never been in and have never since been in a situation where the plug was pulled and you actually thought to yourself, well, hang on, have we finished the movie?
It was a complete nightmare. All of a sudden, people who had been allowed in the cutting room were not allowed in the cutting room. All the creative shifted. You had a new set of bosses. Different producers came in. At the end of the day, we're just like a horse with a different rider on it. And all of a sudden, this rider was like totally into purely finishing the film from an insurance company standpoint. Wait.
So you have an actor going, I don't know if we finished the movie.
Wow.
So that would be...
Well, see, that's why I feel like... Because there were scenes where Michael Ironside, from scene to scene, was like, okay, for example, in the scene where they they leave the Max prison, guys, I don't fucking care about the order of this movie.
Yeah.
I don't think they did. So they run Michael Ironside over with the truck. Louise, like, is like, ha-ha, that was amazing! Like, then he fights Christopher Lambert on the truck.
Sure.
They knock him off, and they keep driving. Then they're driving to climb the ladder to see above the shield. Cut to Michael Ironside in a room with John C. McGinley. He's like, we don't have any idea where they're going. Like, you just fell off the car. Like, where were you? Where were you when you fell off the car? They're not much farther from there. Like, why did you come back? Why?
He got an Uber. He went back. He was like, I lost it.
And they have a scene which is genuinely like, John McGinley's like, I don't know. And it's like, how did you get back here so fast? What the fuck is going on? And I think that's not meant to be there.
Well, of course not. Like, I mean, this movie, like, well, I
think I figured out that this was not a very well-made movie.
I felt like all the fight scenes in this movie was like watching a theme park stunt show.
Right. Yes. You know,
it was like they would shoot something and like a giant piece of a balcony would fall off. Like, gun. And they're like, wait, how would that... Like,
and like a sharply cut off piece of balcony.
Yeah.
Like no like fray at the edge.
Yeah.
Just...
Like, you know that there's a guy at the bottom, like, show's over, and it goes right back in the place. Like, everything is just...
And the guy who's on a wire, who's got, like, he's got wings, this is one of the Porcupine Boys. The Porcupine Boys have, one dude's got a hoverboard.
Yeah.
And that shit is nonsense. When Lambert jumps on the hoverboard and starts flying around... Mm-hmm. And then he's being chased by Porcupine Boy with wings.
Yeah.
They're both moving so slowly. They're both moving at such slow, deliberate paces. It's shitty beyond belief.
Now, I'll tell you who was really nervous about that hoverboard scene. Robert Zemeckis because they Back to Future 2 is not out yet. And they're like, oh shit!
Oh, no.
So they got real freaked out from Highlander. If Highlander 2 gave us anything, they gave us cooler hoverboards. Marty McFly would have been on these, like,
I felt like this is where, like, the Wachowskis were like, ooh, I know what we can do in Jupiter Ascending. We'll give him... give him flying boots. The problem is the board.
But now... You guys might know this, but when do you think this movie was made? I know when it was, but it doesn't feel like it
2024?
Was. 2024? 2024.
I'm going to say 1987.
Okay.
No, 1990.
Got it.
I'm going to price this right at 1991.
1991, 100% 1991. But this is crazy because it doesn't feel like these are the movies that were their contemporaries. Terminator 2,
yeah,
like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and Beauty and the Beast. Like this is like if this feels like I mean maybe it's just the fact that they shot it in Buenos Aires. It's like you know it's like old cameras
taking
and like,
shots, yeah. Taking shots at Buenos Aires.
But weirdly though, there's a couple of scenes like the scene with. Sean Connery where he's trying on the suit. Like that looks I love that scene. I loved it.
It was the best scene.
Because it felt like a movie.
Exactly.
It felt like a movie and it looked like a movie.
Yeah.
It was also shot
I was like, finally I understand a character's wants in a scene from beginning to end and they are unchanged.
By the way,
it's not like I know what he wanted at the beginning of that scene and then a bunch of nonsense happened and then I don't know where we are now.
The man simply wants a suit. And I also felt like why didn't they ever make a prank show where Sean Connery just got on stage during Broadway productions and interrupted?
Really?
That was my favorite scene.
That was the best. And like by the end of it, the audience was on board.
Oh, yeah.
He comes and interrupts the middle of Hamlet. It starts like making fun of Hamlet.
Yeah.
And he's interrupting a show and the audience gets on his side.
Yeah, they start out like this, like, what, this guy? And then he just bows and they're like, yeah!
Bravo!
That was theater!
Why does Sean Connery land where he lands? Yeah. Why when Christopher Lambert says, I need you, Ramirez, my old friend, and thus conjures him, why doesn't Sean Connery show up? Is there something in there that seems to say that the shield bounces him away?
Well,
I have a theory.
Oh, yeah, okay. Ooh.
I think it's because he was decapitated in Scotland that he returns to Scotland.
Okay, I'll take it.
All right, okay. I like that.
The nerds agree.
The odd part of this, when he does appear in Scotland... And this is a screen grab, which if you're listening, you can't see, is everyone's dressed like they're from the 1940s, which is also hard to, like, oh, so in Scotland, they kind of stopped. Like, they stopped. They went backwards almost because the shield only went up in 1999. So they went backwards in time.
Yeah, you would think they would be dressed, oh, who cares?
One of my favorite scenes in this movie was early on. There's
should we see that Hamlet scene, by the way? Is it worth just because we have it and it's one of my I think it's the best scene in the movie. Here we go, just real quick.
Well done.
Alas, poor Yorick.
I knew him, Horatio.
Actually, the name is Ramirez.
Will you get out of here?
I'm a Spaniard.
Excuse me.
A fellow of infinite jest, of most excellent fancy.
Forgive me for interrupting your conversation, but...
He hath borne me upon his back 1,000 times. Here hung those lips that I have kissed I know not how oft.
Sir... Whatever you gentlemen felt for each other when your friend was still alive is certainly none of my affair.
What's your fucking game, shithead?
Shithead? What's a shithead?
That's where he wins over the
audience. That's where you're like, okay.
My apologies. Enough of this useless banter.
I shall be on my way and leave you to converse with your scum. Farewell, dear shithead. Farewell.
Also, and the stage manager very upset.
Also, good on that actor for watching a man apparate on stage and then trying to continue the scene.
Yes.
Professional.
Professional.
And also, when he makes his exit, who's playing the bagpipes?
Well, by the way,
the bagpipes for the Spaniard who has appeared on stage.
They play bagpipes in every scene that he is in. Yes. That is like he has like a motif, like it's underneath, like, oh, we gotta play bagpipes, remind people.
Very subtle.
And I also feel like there was a point where Sean Connery was like, the reason why he has that scene where he gets in a suit is just because he's like, I'm not wearing this fucking Highlander outfit. I'm gonna work for 3 days tops, you're gonna pay me $10 million, and I'm gonna wear a nice suit, and guess what? I'm keeping it.
He looks great.
I also just like that Sean Connery is like notorious for picking the wrong movies. Like,
it's amazing.
Like, he was supposed to be in Lord of the Rings. He's like, no, I'll do League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. He was supposed to be in The Matrix. He's like, no, thank you. Like, he's turned down every good movie and just been like, yep, Highlander 2, where do I sign?
This Matrix only will never work. Only if you make the origin story that we started on another planet and get zapped here, who knows why. Then I'll do it. That's my Sean Connery impression.
It was great.
I liked it.
I think it's pretty good.
June, I interrupted you before we played that scene. Did you have a thought there before?
Oh, I was thinking the female characters in this movie are insane. The woman in the bar in an early scene.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I am so obsessed with. It's a performance that unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was really quite something.
So, like so many facets of it.
She is. She is. She looks like, and this is nothing to be nasty about, but I don't know if that's some prosthetics. I don't know if that's her. Like, she has an energy to her that
Paul,
I don't.
That's not prosthetics.
Prosthetic sweat.
Wait, Paul.
Where are the prosthetics?
What? Where do you?
I thought that maybe.
Where?
Like, I thought it was maybe like an Eddie Murphy, like 90% suit. Like a suit. Uh-huh. Like not. I mean, I don't know. Like, it just. I don't know. Like,
honestly, that's like the worst thing you could ever say about a person.
Maybe as I look at it now, it's not as prosthetic-y.
2 o'clock.
Well, he's in so much prosthetics, you know.
Wait a minute.
So good. I mean, it's so good. At one point when he gets into a fight in this movie, he's almost sweating the prosthetics off. Let's see.
Great. I always wanted to meet the guy that turned the world to shit.
Well, he saved our lives if you ask me.
I'm not asking you.
Okay. What do you want?
Did you ever think about that before you covered the sky with that puke? I work all day and my life stinks and it's your goddamn fault, you old bastard. Don't turn your back on me.
Hey. There are some people in this world who know when to stop, and some people who don't. Which kind are you?
Okay, Miss Nobody, you're out of here. Come on.
I take it back, no prosthetics.
I'm sorry, Mr. McCloud.
No problem, Jimmy.
And then she comes back and goes,
What's up?
Son of a
I love the
bitch.
Runaway.
I love her.
Runs away.
Okay, I'm obsessed with her, and I'm also obsessed with the woman on the airplane.
Oh, yeah. Obsessed. Also, also, why does the plane appear to be from the 1940s?
Also on that plane, why is the instructional video come on halfway through the damn flight?
Also, why does it end with a plane crash? Why does the safety video for the plane end with the plane crash?
Wait.
And there's a lot of footage of the plane, like, of harrowing footage.
It is, I would argue, worse than any airplane disaster movie you've ever seen.
It's really scary.
Used to calm passengers mid-flight. Yes.
Mid-flight, it is crazy. Sean Connery appears to be like, he also is in the air for like days of movie time. So much happens to Lambert while Connery's in the air. It's, oh, this movie, but guys.
I wanted to ask you guys what he meant by this, because they go, would you like some food? They show him some food, and he goes, no, I won't eat anything I can identify. And then he kind of says, like, but that's not always the case.
Yeah.
To a woman.
Yeah, because I can't always identify that puss. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but that's an insane.
I know when I see it.
Hey. I'll chow down on it, even if it's an unidentifiable puss.
And those are the lines that got Sean Connery two sexual harassment lawsuits during the filming of this movie over 9 days.
What? What are you talking about? Yeah. Are you saying that that scene in the movie was he didn't know he was being filmed?
I want to improvise a line just a bit.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
But yeah, like that was an odd way to come on to a woman, because it also... she kind of liked it. I mean,
she loved it.
Oh yeah,
I've never seen a person laugh harder at anything in my life.
Maybe. Do have to be like, if you turn down putting stuff in your mouth and you want to get with the lady next to you, you do have to assure her that you do indeed put stuff in your mouth.
The problem with it is like it is kind of an insult. Like he's staring at her like, I may not recognize anything that's going on there. Well,
you can take off
Yeah, if
clothes,
there's prosthetics under there,
I'll
like,
still
I'm
go
good.
For it, even if it's unidentifiable.
Yes.
Because he's used a 500-year-old Scottish vagina.
That,
right?
That actress was wearing vagina prosthetics.
Yeah. June, do you identify with Louise when she sees the raw masculinity of Christopher Lambert?
She?
And just...
That
I have a lot to say about
do,
that scene.
Too. I mean, ultimately, it was just like the same haircut, like making out and fucking, like watching like two people have the same haircut.
Do you think that's what was attractive to her? Is she saw herself in his hair?
It was just an egotist.
It was like a wild
image. And she's just a narcissist.
She's a super narcissist.
They do not know each other. No. He throws her in a dumpster as an old man. Like a child's magic trick, when she comes out of the dumpster, he's a young man, so she raw dogs him.
In the street.
Against a wall in the street. She's like, you were old moments ago. I've come out of a dumpster, you're young, put it inside me.
Now, this is
by the way,
what is that?
He does it quite quickly.
Oh, he just goes for it. And by the way, they're just making out. And I was like, okay, cool, maybe a makeout. But they are hard making out. She's making out with his chin, and he shoves it in and comes.
Yeah.
He just came. We just watched him come. It was quick. It was quickening.
They're quickening.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you, guys. Guys, thank you. Guys, I'd like to accept my howdy for the
No, you gotta wait 2.5 some odd years before the next one comes out.
And here's the thing I'll say on her behalf. First of all, let's not just entirely blame her for this. I mean,
he's
insane. Like attacks her. Okay, but it does seem like there's an energy to this world where people are just fucking in the streets.
Well,
like,
that's in the
like
opening
it's not
scene.
A crazy,
but it starts
crazy
on the opening scene.
Do.
There's a woman being fucked on
that
a mattress
was,
on
that
the
was
street.
Really disturbing.
Which was not cool.
No, yeah. I wouldn't say fucked. I would say being raped, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She didn't seem entirely kind to you.
Yeah, that didn't seem like a real loving relationship.
Yeah. This,
this
like
started off real nice. This is like a real, this is like, hey, a great meet cute, as you would call it. Very Harry Met Sally
she
moment.
She just watched him de-age decades
and stand out of a fire.
Yes.
But then he'd ask her, who are you? And then they fuck.
She's like, I want some of this. I gotta, oh my gosh. This is a very intense scene because there's, that's the only connection between them. And then in the next scene, she explains the
That's
entire...
Yeah. 15 seconds. I just counted it.
Oh.
That's 15 seconds of penetration. And he came. I mean, probably he hasn't fucked in like hundreds of years. But that was
No, not true. Because we do find out that he's had... wives and girlfriends.
Yeah, no, you're right, you're right. But, like, that was 15 seconds of sex. At which point, it, like, that's disappointing, I think.
Sometimes Highlanders can't hold it back.
And he doesn't apologize. He's not like, my bad. I'll give me a minute, I'll go again.
He's proud of himself.
Yeah, he's like, I did it. Like,
yeah.
He's like,
there can be only one.
The original way Ramirez came in was, Ramirez, I need your help. And Sean Connery from behind, and it's a very awkward scene.
That's not the Renegade cut.
He's like, I'll help you, Highlander.
I'll eat anything I can't identify.
What? Oh.
Seconds later, though, this scene happens, which is, I think... Always there are things in these movies, title cards, flying skateboard scenes, and then a movie, and then this point, which is like probably about 30 minutes in, where they just go, okay, shit, the audience is lost. How about this?
Oh, amazing.
See if I can get this straight. You're mortal there, but you're immortal here until you kill all the guys from there who have come here, and then you're mortal here. Unless you go back there, or some more guys from there come here, in which case you become immortal here, again.
Something like that.
Of course, it would be something like that, wouldn't it?
Even he's not sure.
He's not sure. I think that was the actress legitimately asking and was being filmed.
It was a pre before they called action. She's like,
and there's a moment there where he looks down at sides and is like, I don't know.
Sure. I mean, this whole movie reeks of like additional recording later.
Oh, yeah.
Like, some wide chatter. Say this as quick as you can, Virginia Madsen. Okay, so here's the plot. You came here and I didn't. There's no, like, that's like, thank God they had that wide shot to shove that all in.
Guys, there's so much to talk about.
Oh.
Go ahead, Sam, sorry.
Sorry, my other favorite thing about this scene is that he just got back from being an old man, so now he's a young man, and he just got home and he's got denim jeans that fit so sweet and tight. Did they stop at a store on the way home?
Yeah,
he really got into a name. He knows what he likes.
He walked out of the fire dressed like a fashionable young man.
No, he walked out of the fire in the same clothes as the old man, but the clothes didn't burn.
Are the clothes immortal?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting question. Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Hulk where his clothes are ripped and tattered. They are complete, just hanging off.
Because that makes total sense.
Yeah. I wanted to also talk about the psychic cooking show.
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's my favorite part. That's
psychic
my favorite
cook.
Psychic cook.
So what was going on
psychic
there?
Psychic cook and the airplane video are part and parcel of the same thread of insanity that's running through this movie.
It's like these two moments of what entertainment is. So again, we're 25 years under the dome. It's 2024. And now there is a psychic cook who's calling ghosts.
And then, like, cooking next to them as they choke each other.
Yeah, that was the thing. Why is that ghost killing the other ghost?
That's entertainment, baby.
I couldn't figure this out at all.
So it's a world in which ghosts exist and can be broadcast over TV. Too. Like, that's another part of this world. And that's why probably people are fucking this.
And
movie.
It like, seems like a very super. Highly regarded show.
Yeah.
Huge.
Like, it felt like they were trying to have those moments, like, from like, RoboCop, where, you know, it's like a commercial for the car that electrocutes somebody. It's like, oh, that's like a commentary on what things would be like in the future. This one was just like, also ghosts are in the future. You can eat and see them eat, and they're, like, see-through. And planes crash in the video it instructs.
It's edgy. You get it.
And the subway goes 700 miles an hour. If you just push it fast enough.
You gotta turn the knob.
Why would the subway ever had a gauge that would go?
Why? Why would it be built? Why would the subway be built to even go that fast?
It makes no sense.
In case businessmen are in a hurry.
700 miles an hour. A man's face it explodes off of his skull because of the speed that the subway is effortlessly capable of achieving.
My question is why didn't Sean Connery take a subway from Scotland to wherever they are?
Great. I love, too, that Michael Ironside says to the kid, "You want to see how fast this thing can go?" And by the way, real fast is the answer. Yeah.
Really, very fast.
And every single person on that subway dies. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is crazy. And then I was like, oh, wow, they're killing everybody.
Children, I mean, everybody's dead on that subway.
Meanwhile, oh, that whole thing too. Wait, is this video or is that just the picture?
I have a video of the subway scene.
Can you play it, please?
Oh, yeah.
Only because... Only because it happened. This movie has one of the best insane visuals to terrible electric guitar scores combinations of any movie we've ever done.
Well, you know, Sam, you brought up that the first movie, the music was done by Queen.
Uh-huh.
This movie, the music was done by Stuart Copeland from the Police. Yes.
From the Police?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, bad on him. Because this is terrible. And I love Stuart Copeland.
Yeah, that's what. All right, here we go. Mother went after her kid in a very lackluster way.
Yeah.
The baby carriage rolls down and she's like trying to get it.
She's like, man, she doesn't cry out like, oh my baby.
Yeah.
Someone say stop it.
She's like, oh crap.
I'd also like to think if I'm a passenger on the train and not the mother of that child, that I would reach out and just stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Save that baby.
Let me help you.
Yeah.
What I also love about, like, these actors are all... I mean, Christopher Lambert gives the most grounded performance, I would argue. Virginia Madsen, too. But they were so into the roles that Lambert refused to use fake swords for the fight scenes. And the first time they ever gave him a real sword, he cut his finger down to the bone.
Oh, my God.
And then Michael Ironside chopped off a part of Lambert's finger. And then Lambert got his tooth chipped. And then Michael Ironside dislodged his jaw in a fight scene. And then after that, they were like, okay, you have to use plastic swords. And they then still, Lambert has terrible eyesight, so he can't see. And he almost cut off Michael Ironside's thumb. So... And basically his argument was, well, it's hard to do precision thrusts when you're wielding a 22-pound broadsword. Wow. So that was his.
But it was worth it. It shows in the film.
Can you, hey Paul?
Worth it, Paul?
Can you forward to the end of this scene by any chance?
Yeah, sure.
Not the very very end, but like the last 15 seconds, maybe.
Yeah. What do we got?
Okay. I want to watch the guy's head explode, and then I want Michael Ironside's his final line if we have it.
Yeah, hopefully we do. All right, here we go.
Hey, Michael. Usually you're going to... Oh, shit.
Do you remember it?
Fuck. So he comes out, looks straight down the barrel of the lens, and goes, last stop. Right? Is that what it was? Hold
on. You know, I wrote that. Yeah, I wrote it. Because every now
last
and then...
Everyone's dead. He looks right into camera. It's like he's like, ha, 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 ha. Last stop.
They say things... They say things sometimes that feel very... bizarre in the world. Like, it's like, well, I wouldn't say that.
Okay, especially because and Michael Ironsides and Sean Connery, they do a little bit of business with Sean Connery, but they make no effort to have them be like, what world am I in?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Michael Ironsides just starts driving a train. He was just zapped here from Zeiss.
Yeah.
Or said the past. Or the past on Zeiss. I don't know.
I had to believe that he's been zapped there before.
You think? This,
I think it's possible. Yeah, I do.
Maybe Zeiss have subway trains.
Maybe, subway trains.
Maybe he did semester abroad.
But
he was at Zeiss U.
But there are some odd, like there are odd moments, because then when Sean Connery comes in, he kind of makes some sort of weird reaction to a statue, and Christopher Lambert is like, "That's a sculpture." Like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think arguably the one thing you probably did have was some sort of like sculpture, like stone carving would be the most familiar thing.
That's not
like,
new.
Yeah, that's not a new thing. It's like, that's a TV. I get. He's like, oh, what is this odd stone thing of a man?
But then, like, also, like, he's here, and then he sees, like, a bus go by, and he's like, whoop, so much for horse and buggies, and then he's like, doo-doo-doo.
they're unfazed. I mean, look, John C. McGinley watches Michael Ironside come in, and he's like, you just kill all these people. He's like, I'm not even moving. And he's just a businessman.
Well, no, he's not just a businessman. He's the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. And then doesn't Michael Ironside, I don't even know what Michael Ironside's doing, but he gets a man's face on the table and is like, he's banding like his jaw.
Pulling his head open from his jaw.
And you're just hearing like, crack, crick, crick, crick.
I have a real question. Up until now, none of my questions have been real. Okay, Michael Ironside, Sean Connery, Christopher Lambert. Okay?
Yes.
They all are from the past, also maybe are from another planet.
Yes.
Okay. Regardless, they find themselves in 2024 on Earth.
Yes.
How do they keep finding each other everywhere they go? They are so easily locatable by each other at all times. Do Highlanders know where other Highlanders are? Yeah.
It's an app.
Oh.
Hang on, asshole. Wait, is that real?
Yes.
Wow, they're drawn to each other.
Mm-hmm. Drawn to each other.
Wowee, okay. Okay, then actually that, I'm glad you said that, because I was really like, this is shitty that they keep showing up and being like, I found you.
When you say they're drawn to each other, do you mean they have to like sort of put the vibe out there looking for someone, or they're just like naturally...
Well, because I guess their only job is to kill each other, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's like their existence.
So they have like a homing beacon to the guy that they're going to fight.
And to win the prize.
To die.
To die.
So you're dying either way.
Yeah, exactly.
You're either going to get your head cut off, or you're just going to die.
Or you're going to die eventually.
Yeah. Not really a great upside there.
How about the fact that when he goes out to fight, Virginia Madsen straight up reads his centuries-old diary.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, oh, what's this big book? Also, like, I'm not a big journal keeper, but, like, he's been keeping the same diary for hundreds of years. It's one book. Does he do, like, one entry a year?
Highlanders are thrifty. They get, you know, a moleskin notebook.
But I'm also like, hey, don't look at my diary. Yes, I'm immortal, but, like, don't worry about it. And she's basically like, so, there have been other women?
I did appreciate that he has...
Who's this bitch?
I did appreciate he had amazing penmanship, which is it's really going the way of the dodo bird.
Yeah.
People don't have good penmanship anymore.
Yes.
What about, was his wife talking to him from beyond the grave too?
When she was all burned up?
Now, if you are sick with like UV rays, is that what you look like?
I think you're all burned up.
So you've gone outside and you got
you were exposed to the sun is, this is what I'm assuming, because there were so many people. The sun is too powerful and you get all burned up. And that's why they created the shield, to keep the UV rays out, but to plunge us into a dystopian future of darkness.
Wouldn't it have just been better to start the movie with him creating the shield?
I would have loved to see that.
When you finally get to the idea that he created this thing.
Oh, you mean a S.H.I.E.L.D. origin story?
Yeah. You're like, you're at least 40 minutes deep.
You're well into it. You know the shield exists.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, here we go. We're going to turn it on. Like, I know it's on.
Like, yeah. Like, the better thing that would have been was, like, why he's visiting his wife. She's dying. then he creates the shield, and then flash cut
in the middle
to the
of
opera.
It, mm-hmm. or in yeah. the middle of the in the middle of the create. Oh, I see what you're saying. Sorry.
So it's like
that's
it's
how
like,
to start the movie.
That's how you would start it.
That's
just be
a
like,
great idea.
Here's yep. just hey, audience, we like you to follow along with us just a tad. Let's build instead of making it a reveal, which doesn't only the reveal is like. Oh, it's beginning to make sense. Like the that's what they're revealing is just.
Did we
sense.
Have we even mentioned that
storytelling?
Virginia Madsen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is a eco-terrorist? We have yeah. yet to mention her flawless break-in at SHIELD HQ, which involves some real nonsense. These people would have been caught instantly.
Yeah. Everyone seems everybody to give up
yeah. Yeah.
very quickly.
And everybody gains access to everything very quickly.
Immediately.
That's all.
I also didn't get, like when she was like out there and she's changing her clothes. She took off her clothes yeah. in the street after her amazing espionage mission. And then there was a phone number and there was a note.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where did that come from?
His number. And then... That was just it? Would it say McLeod and his phone number?
Yeah.
And then she randomly, I thought you were somebody else. And then that's
who
the all they addressed.
Who gave her that number?
Who gave her that number?
And did she call it?
wait, for real, who gave her that information?
I don't know. I thought
Ramirez?
Maybe she found it while she was in,
but
maybe
I feel
it was
like,
a scene that they cut where she found it during that mission. I don't know.
What?
Don't know
maybe the cab driver gave it to him. The cab
she's
driver.
Supposed to meet him. It's an address. It's not a phone number. I
think it's an address. That's right.
But still, which would lead me to believe she's coming to the bar to meet him where he is when the Porcupine Brothers attack. But why is she sent to meet with him?
Because he created the shield?
By whom, though? Do we? Maybe by his
the old
partner?
Man? Yeah, oh, because that old man was sending messages
maybe that's
to somebody. Remember? And then like John C. McGinley was like, I see all those
computer.
Messages.
Yeah, that's who they sent. They send him to prison then.
Yeah. This is hard.
No, those messages,
the audience is doing a lot of work.
Those yeah. messages that you're talking about are the messages he was just communicating with. Fuck it.
This fuck isn't it. A good movie.
I never, and then by the way, just I want to talk about you and I watching this movie together. You were... I'm being serious. I've never seen you get this mad at a movie.
I was really mad.
And feeling
really
like someone was tricking
mad.
You. Because you said to me, you're like, do you get it? Do you get it? And I said, and then at one point I said, yeah, of course.
I got really fucking mad.
And you would reply like, tell me. I was like, because it's more of a metaphor. It's not necessarily a straight story. And you're like, what?
No, because what angers me about you is that you then go on after viewing this to do tons of research about the movie and understand it. And if I did that research, yeah, I'd understand it too. But I'm just, with an open heart coming here, describing my reactions.
Well, Paul, how does that make you feel? What June just said was how she
yeah,
felt and
I know,
how she feels
I know,
what's
I didn't
annoying
realize
about you.
That, I guess.
So
yeah,
how does
yeah.
that make you feel to hear that?
I guess maybe I need to have
guys,
more of an
time
open
is
heart.
Up. I'm
oh,
so
geez.
Sorry.
Wow, you just asked him a question.
I know, but I just looked at the clock. And, you know,
should I be
so
here for
sorry.
This?
Sam, we're so appreciative that you're here.
I am a fan of this guy, Chris Gethard. He is an amazing storyteller. He is a super funny personality in general. And he has this really cool new show I want to tell you about. Think of the most puzzling dream that you've ever had. Okay? Ever wonder what it might mean? Well, so does Chris Gethard and Gary Richardson. So what they've decided to do is team up and take a crack at figuring out your most bizarre nightly musings in their new improv comedy podcast, In Your Dreams. Though Chris and Gary are far from dream experts, their attempts to unravel the mysteries of your dream world are definitely worth a listen. I'm going to tell you that it's the dreams are amazing. They're just a starting point, and the story just kind of goes and develops. And I think it's kind of beyond explanation just to know that Chris is super funny. They've had great comedians like Wyatt Cenac, Bobby Moynihan on their show to help them kind of figure everything out. So tune in by subscribing to In Your Dreams on iTunes, Stitcher, and or on Google Play.
Well, obviously, we have a lot of questions, but we've barely tapped the surface. Now we're coming to you to answer or to ask us some questions, to answer some questions, to make observations.
We're not going to have answers.
You never know.
I think that is.
You never know. You might have a real Highlander head in the house. All right. Okay, here we go. Sir, your name, your logline, Highlander 2, the blank, what would you call it, and your question?
Highlander 2, what?
All right, I like it. Here's your question.
What the hell was happening with Sean Connery and the fan? Like, could he...
Oh yeah.
Sean Connery,
not the
yeah.
Fiendus.
When Sean Connery used the force?
And then he just blew up, like, yeah, the fan you mean... didn't crush him, like...
Yeah. No, you mean when he used the force.
Yeah. Well, yes, the force.
Well, but then he died.
He didn't get his head cut off.
But my whole theory about Sean...
I thought
Sean
for sure right. it was a beheading device.
That's the whole point of the device.
But I also thought then, like, as a... Just as, like, a creative type, I was like, why even bring Sean Connery here? Because the action... If you track Sean Connery's story, it's like he interrupts a play, he gets a suit... He meets Christopher Lambert and then he kills himself. Like he doesn't do anything.
Well, he helps get Christopher Lambert into the jail by having the both of them get shot 200 times.
But by the way, Virginia Madsen's in the trunk and
she
somehow
would be so dead.
Makes yeah. it out alive.
She would be so dead.
How did he get that door open? And where did that come
what
from?
Door?
They slipped
oh, yeah.
out of.
The door they got out of.
Magic. Magic is the answer.
Well, you're asking a lot of great questions, so I'm going to give you this pamphlet of what happened to Lumpy from the Star Wars Christmas special.
So I left some gifts. There's actually, for you three, there's one that relates to the Star Wars Christmas special.
I don't like
Jason.
It.
Jason, he wants to know what a Wookiee cookie is.
So
it's
I'm sorry. We're allowing random bags to just be put on stage. I'm sorry. Largo staff, what's going on? Are we just cool with randos leaving bags on stage? What world are we living in? Guys, come on!
Yeah, also, where's my gift?
All right, ma'am, your name, well, you would subtitle the Highlander 2 movie.
And can you point out anything that you've left on stage?
So first of all, what's your name?
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Yes.
Highlander 2, the...
Sex too fast.
All right,
it works.
I was just wondering, in the scene where Sean Connery goes to the shop to get his clothes, yes. if anybody thought of Pretty Woman at that point.
1,000%.
Yes, but only because I'm always thinking about Pretty Woman.
Also, like, why was...
I thought Sean Connery might say, big mistake.
It's not in the Renegade version, but it's in one of the others. Also, why was the main guy being such a dick about that tart, that Scottish print? Yeah. He was like, no. But like, well, you don't know if he likes it or not.
You know why? Because the other guy kept trying to put Scottish stuff on him, and he knew that he was a Spaniard.
And he was then like, that bag, but why does that bagpiper follow him around all the time? Here's something for you. This is a little graphic design from someone called Hanksy. He's like Banksy, but with pop culture. Hanksy. All right, yes. Yes, your name, your title, and your question. Here we go. What's your name?
My name is Shane.
Shane. Highlander 2, the...
There should have only been one.
Okay, great. Your question.
Okay, so did you guys notice that when he goes to the bar and the bartender knows him, they cheers to a drink, he's drinking whiskey, the bartender for some reason is drinking a tall glass of milk?
Ew.
And they live in a world where I don't know if they said it in the movie, but I read that it's 99 degrees outside at all times. So he's drinking a tall glass of milk on a hot day.
Gross.
And what's even crazier is I heard it was breast milk. Because that's what everybody's into in 2024. Boob juice.
And they were... I had a terrible joke. I'm not going to say anything. This is, that's a great observation. A lot of research went into that. And you get this notebook that is using the VHS cover of Masters of the Universe done by this guy on Facebook called facebook.com/pieceofwork, W-E-R-K. Yes, your name, sir, your subtitle and your question. What's your name?
Kevin, and it's Highlander 2, who writes this shit.
Great, love it. Apparently, by the way, an Argentinian financial company who, when the movie started going over budget, they started giving script notes. Anyway, here we go.
Oh, that's amazing.
Now, there's really only one Highlander. That's Connor McLeod. Everybody else is just immortal. He's the Highlander because he's from the Scottish Highlands, right?
Oh. You tell me, bro.
Like a Dracula.
You're speaking more authoritatively than I am.
Yeah, if you say so.
But you know, when Sam was describing it, I assumed that they're all Highlanders and they just battle until there's one left.
But then why does Sean Connery call him Highlander?
But what was Sean Connery?
What's Sean Connery?
Sean Connery was actually Egyptian by way of Spain.
Hear this?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is crazy because the only Scottish Everybody person shut up in the movie that guy. Played a Spaniard.
So the only Scottish person in the movie played a Spaniard or an Egyptian by the way of Spain. So he's a Highlander. So what makes Christopher Lambert special?
Not his acting, I'll tell you what.
Whoa! Oh.
Slam!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Christopher Lambert.
He's over there crying. He's not coming out.
He's so upset at you.
He's hurt.
Ooh, he's not coming out because he's really sad. Wow. You guys, you would have had
crying.
A whole
he's crying.
Interaction
he's
with
crying.
Christopher Lambert if it hadn't been for that guy.
Here you go.
Wow, Chris.
Oh, Chris, no.
Chris, does no, it, don't. Oh.
No, don't. No, boy.
Oh, does anyone? He's taking his shit.
Not backstage. Oh.
It doesn't hurt him. It just hurts us. All right.
Does anyone understand the Highlander a little bit more that we could kind of pick your brain? You do. Okay. That was a very authoritative hand raise. Because I do want to understand.
By the way, is it Highlander or Highlander?
And
is a Toyota based on that?
Which is the
Toyota?
Yes.
So are you driving? Like when you drive a Highlander, is it impenetrable? Like
I'm immortal.
It goes 700 miles an hour.
Hey, was that just another Highlander? Shit, there can be only one.
Remove the engine.
They never went for that tie-in. Toyota, really?
Another nerd battle of Highlanders on the 101.
All right, so you have some Highlander knowledge. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and kind of finish what the prize is. So not only is it, because mortals are sterile, so he's not going to be sterile anymore, but he's also going to be...
Wait, whoa. I'm going to ask you to not gloss over that fella.
Sterile?
Mortals are sterile.
He's upset because in immortals. The first one...
Immortals are.
And he's upset in the first one because he has a wife and she can't get pregnant and it's his fault because he's immortal. So anyway, the prize, he becomes mortal, but also he gets to hear the thoughts and become one with nature and hear the thoughts of everybody. So my whole problem with the second movie is how does he not know that people are, you know, misusing what he's trying to do? And anyway, so that just bothered me the whole time.
Yeah.
So upon gaining mortality, he can just... get his wife pregnant?
Well, he can become fertile, but he can also hear everything.
Yeah.
Got it.
So at the end of the movie, the prize is he's going to know everything going on. Like he can hear the thoughts and everybody, and he's supposed to help bring humanity together. Or something.
Got it. So he's like Professor X.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Without the room, without Cerebro.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And he can walk, as was pointed out here.
But then he doesn't have a baby.
And can walk? Hey, dick move, bro. Thanks for the explainer, but you don't have to take Professor X to task for being in a wheelchair, bro.
You have a good question? Okay, come here. And I always like when someone pimps out one of their friends. Here we go. This, your name, your subtitle, and your question.
My name is Jenny. It is Highlander 2, The Confusing.
Ooh, I like that. Mm-hmm.
And I want to know where Sean Connery gets his wham, his walking around money, because I know that he traded,
it was
like,
his earring.
Back to shopping. Right, no. But that earring is definitely not worth, at best, $500, right?
Whoa!
Not nearly as much as that suit. And then he gets on a plane. How did he get to the plane? How did he get that ticket?
I agree. How's Michael Ironside doing all the same stuff?
I agree. That is a 400 or 500-year-old earring, though.
How much?
They go up in value every 100 years.
And it may be.
So is it a cash? Is it a cash back thing? Does he give that earring to the suit place? Like, well, I guess we'll pay you $2,000 extra.
Does he take the earring and put it in the cash register?
Yeah.
Like, and is he like, you,
is
yeah,
there
you
a barter
owe me change?
System in 2024? Beads for suits?
Yeah, but then he'd have to get like a cash back at a certain point because that would cut that earring up in half.
Right, like shave it.
This is a tough question. This
you
is
know
a good
what?
Question.
This is the part of the movie that makes no sense. And that's a bummer because up until now everything has added up for me, but that's a hole that I feel like they didn't address.
By the way, yeah, where did Sean Connery get his wham?
Yeah.
We didn't even think about that.
And it sucks because you loved it and now your mind's gonna go there.
Yeah,
all
now the
time.
Movie's kind of ruined for me. Thanks a lot. Wait, is wham a thing?
I've never heard of it, and I love it.
Yeah,
so raise your hand if you've heard wham before for walking around money.
Everybody okay. in her
okay,
row.
Good. Small group okay, of friends. Good.
Her three friends raised their hands.
I was just making sure I'm not insane.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, thing. Wham is not a thing. You should stop saying it.
She's trying to get it out there. Trying to get it out. I want to come to you guys. You both are wearing the same sweatshirt, right? Oh my gosh, this is great. There, it's The Room, not the Brie Larson movie, but the Tommy Wiseau movie. Yeah. And it's a Christmas sweater that says, "You're tearing me apart, Lisa," but it's a Christmas, like a Christmas decorated room sweater. It's awesome. Well, let's talk to both of you. Your name, your subtitle, and your question.
My name is Brie, Highlander 2, Let's Get Zeisty.
Like it?
So there's this part where Christopher Lambert goes to see his former partner at the S.H.I.E.L.D. office where there's a lot of industrial fans happening. And this computer screen is like this see-through thing.
Yeah.
And John McKinley walks in the room and they're acting like super secret, like he can't actually just see what's on the screen. And also, John C. McKinley doesn't say a word about the fact that fucking Christopher Lambert, who started this company, is young?
Yeah.
And not...
Nope, barely
even
anybody
his partner.
Does. His partner's like, "You look great. What did you do, a facelift?" He's like, "Something like that." If by a facelift you mean I murdered two immortals. I, through the quickening, gained my immortality back. Raw dog this lady.
Well, now at least we know he can do that without the fear of impregnating her. And it makes that part of the movie a lot more palatable to
and
me.
And now I'm here talking to you, old dude.
I'm also going to give you a little piece of work for that. And now your name, your title, and your question.
Name's Jim. Highlander 2, The Free Men of Zeist.
The what?
The Free People of Zeist.
Okay, got it. Love it.
So this movie, with Michael Ironside, his henchmen actually tell him what the plot hole of the whole fucking movie is before he starts anything in the Renegade cut. And he's just like, no, it's fine. Like the Porcupine Men literally say, if you send us back in time, he's going to be immortal again. You could just wait a couple years and he can die.
Yes.
So right. The whole movie doesn't. Oh,
but
even happen.
The priests say that that he could still choose to come back to Zeiss. Oh God. You're right.
But I guess what I took away from that, and again, I don't know a ton about Highlanders, but...
Wait.
What I
June, you don't.
I don't.
Even having now Highlanders. Watched it.
But what I took away from that was this idea of there can only be one, and if he were to die, he would be the one, right?
Yeah, but...
So that's why he went...
But wouldn't there be another one?
Him.
How many... Yeah.
And like, so they don't get replaced.
I don't know if they keep on popping up.
Is Highlander... Okay, now I have a question. Is Highlander a thing that throughout time there is always a Highlander? Or is he the Highlander because he's from the Highlands and as a result became the Highlander? Was... Yes?
That was like his...
Okay, hey, guy.
Wow.
Whoa. Hey, bud.
Whoa.
Hey, bud.
Hey okay. Fella.
Whoa,
hey,
man.
Don't shake
the producer of the movie is here and he...
Christopher Lambert? Okay, hold on one second.
I'm done taking a shit and now...
Everybody shut up except for the loudmouth. Loudmouth, explain it very concisely.
Wait, but I gotta go too.
I also
really?
Feel like we've
Do we
asked
care?
This question like 10 times.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to hear it again.
Okay,
where
he's,
is it?
He's over there, Paul. He's on the other... He's, it's okay. That asshole.
All right, I'm gonna go around. going around. Most exercise I've gotten in weeks. Here we go. All right. Here we go. I'll hold the mic.
So he's the Highlander because he's from the Highlands. Everyone
talk to us like we're idiots.
Yeah, man.
You. I fucking want
Hey, No. Here's what's not happening. We don't come bring the mic to you after you scream from the audience for you to condescend to me. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
June threw down her notebook in disgust.
Wow.
Every member of the stage just got up to fight you.
I want everybody to get a look at this guy so that we know who the asshole is.
All right. So watch your tone and explain this movie to us. All right, here we go.
So the immortals like that. Are like capacitors. They contain energy from the universe. And when they kill each other by beheading each other, they gain the energy of the person they beheaded until there's only one, and he contains all of the leftover energy, which is the prize, which he gets to die.
Wait, so the immortals, though, are not Highlanders, but the Highlander is immortal.
Yes.
Can I ask you this? If in the first movie, and I don't know the first movie, obviously I didn't see it. If Sean Connery had killed everybody, would the movie be called The Spaniard? Because he's from Spain.
It would be called The Egyptian, because he's from Egypt and then went to Japan and then went to Spain and then went to Scotland.
I legitimately hate you. But
June.
But I thank you for your service.
So it all comes down to this for me.
Now give me a howdy.
Never. June, now it all comes down to, this is what I'll say to you, and I want to ask you in all honesty, do you have a better idea of what a Street Fighter is or what a Highlander is? It's been a...
You know what? I think Highlander.
So you know what a Highlander is?
I think so. I think I have a pretty good idea.
Want to hit it back?
No, I don't. I don't. But I think I have a good idea.
Oh,
and
my
I'm going to leave it at that.
So there can be only one refers to only one immortal.
Yes.
Not only one Highlander.
That makes a lot more sense.
That's huge.
Because the movie is
huge.
The idea that there could be a movie called The Spaniard is helpful. Yeah, yes. I think that makes sense.
And I wish it hadn't been delivered how it was delivered.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
But
residual.
I am grateful for the information.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about the Highlander all day, and we can talk about the Spaniard all night. But there are some people out there that have a different opinion about it than we do. It is now time for Second Opinions.
The movie was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. A second opinion.
That is John Lajoie. The very funny, the very talented John Lajoie. If you
have
not checked out,
he's got a fantastic record.
Yes.
Go buy it on iTunes.
It's really, really great. So John Lajoie, thank you so much for your second opinions theme. And these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. Not many. Not even many 1-star reviews. Seem like people passed this one in the reviewing matrix. They were like, not gonna even spend the time, but I do have a few. This one is from Kevin Gandy, written on January 31st, my birthday, 2015. Wrote simply, just what my child wanted. 5 stars.
To be disappointed.
This one...
Just what my child wanted. I am a divorced dad.
I don't understand my son. This is written by Lon Sugara, and this is a tough one to make sense of. So it's not me, it's Lon. My fantasies get tickles by the dream. The truth about physics is revealed just by watching movies and playing games and eating good food and experiencing different things and hanging around girls. It's really just an oxymoron for just about everyone's cover up of shit. 5 stars.
Wow.
Wow.
Like, that's either really profound or it's a bot.
I don't know. We now go deeper into the pit. We go into third opinions. These are where we just see what people gave it, the 1-star review. This one is just titled, "What a Horrible Movie, ... And it says, "I am just confused by this plot. Did anyone read this and say, hey, this makes no sense?" 1 star. So that is the second opinions there. Blake J. Harris will probably go deep with someone to talk about this film. You can find his articles on slashfilm.com. I love doing this show. I love finding out different things. And this is something that I thought was well worth it. I have 2 things before we kind of wrap up. One is, well, I'll do this first. One is how the movie could have ended. These are the 3 different endings on the 3 different things. The fairy tale ending. Louise and Connor return magically to Zeiss, embrace in front of a field of stars. They transform into light and fly into space. That is one ending. Okay.
All fairy tales. Yes.
There's a British version, which is 10 minutes longer, and it's closer to the original script, and it includes flashbacks and an alternate ending. They don't get more of that. And then the Renegade version, which is one that we've watched, is all references to the planet Zeist and them being aliens are removed. And a lot of people think this is the best one because it doesn't severely change the canon. It doesn't because basically when they become aliens, it basically takes away everything that people have done.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And then they tried to make a Highlander TV show. And so Lambert declined to reprise his role. So they created a new character called Duncan MacLeod, who was also the Highlander. But then Lambert came back in and was in the show. So that kind of confused the mythology again to have 2 Highlanders. And then another Highlander movie called Highlander 3, The Sorcerer came in, and I don't know what happened there. But this is kind of my favorite part of the entire thing. This is Roger Ebert trying to explain the plot of this movie. And I'll just start it about here, because he talks some shit at the top, but all right, here we go.
Highlander 2, The Quickening. The plot of Highlander 2, The Quickening is one of the most hilariously incomprehensible experiences I've had in a long time. The immortals from the planet Zeist, who are caught in a time warp of their own involving the fact that they got oriented in Scotland 500 years ago, plus events in the year 1999 and more events in the year 2025, plus the cartel, plus the ozone shield, plus the mysterious killer, plus the beautiful independent scientist who exposes the secret of the ozone.
Him trying to put together the movie, and I think he does the best version of it. And that version, he said mysterious killer. Is there a mysterious killer?
Yeah, wait.
Is that Michael Ironside?
I guess he's not that mysterious.
Yeah.
All right, well, going around the horn, does anyone recommend this movie? Would you say watch it? I mean, obviously, not for quality. This is not the... this is not the La La Land of the season, or but it's like, would you say it's enjoyable enough?
No.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I'm gonna say no. It fucked me up.
I'm
still like, I can't like think.
Yeah. I feel the same. I feel like the way maybe someone that was coming over to the New World would feel when they saw the Statue of Liberty. But when they got off the boat, it was like now. And it was like they came from the 1920s. Like, what? And like, it's so much information. It broke me. This movie broke
it
me.
It also is so convoluted that it's hard to enjoy on a like stupid level.
Yeah.
You know, like, because yeah. I find myself continuously just trying to be like, wait. What's actually happening?
We're a group.
And
we're
as a result, I'm not enjoying
people.
The nonsense.
We're in a room of 200 people, and we're just about cracking some elements of
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. Right. But we're also like, we do this a lot. And I was still confounded by it. Anyway, so it wasn't as fun as I wanted it to be. But there's some like true nonsense that's pretty enjoyable, but not
yeah,
worth it.
Not worth it. Not no. worth it. All right, let's talk about this. So, Sam, you have a new show coming out on Comedy Central.
We do.
It's called The Detroiters. Tell us a little bit about it.
It comes out on Comedy Central February 7th. It's about two ad men who make local cheap local commercials in Detroit. Stars me and a buddy named Tim Robinson. And watch it. It'll be on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Everything I've seen from it so far looks really, really awesome. June, what do you want to talk about?
Nothing. I'll just plug two podcasts that I really love, Bitch Sesh and OMFG, also nice. An Earwolf.
All right. Nice, Jason.
I'll just say, you know, it's January now, where it's 2017. Yeah. We're living in a new world.
Yeah.
But, like, if you haven't caught up with it, like, why not watch the Gilmore Girls revival on Netflix? Don't worry about it.
June and I have just started the Gilmore Girls, and we're powering through season one right now.
Ooh, it's great.
Loving it.
It's really
it.
Good.
It's only going to get better, and then it's going to get real bad for a minute. And then it's going to get real good.
Kind of like that moment when, like, in Friday Night Lights when, like...
When they killed... When, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when they killed that guy.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second.
And then
what?
Everybody
what
was like, show? JK, that didn't happen.
sorry, football.
just
Clear Eyes, Full Hearts, can't lose. Except we murdered someone, right? Are we murderers?
And the tornado wipes it all away. She's having sex with a teacher. Not cool. So you can sign up for the How Does This Get Made mailing list. You can find out about shows in your area because we'll have all sorts of cool mailing lists. A big thank you to everybody who makes this show possible. Marissa Zeitz, who helps us put this live show together. Everybody at Earwolf. Avril Halley for cutting together these amazing clips. Watching a Highlander 2 documentary. Not only did she sit through Highlander 2 The Quickening, she sat through a documentary about Highlander 2 The Quickening. So thank you to her. Thank you to Nate Kiley for doing this amazing research. And thank you to all these people here at Largo. We appreciate you. We thank you. And we'll see you next time. Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to the show. Just really quickly, I want to talk to you about a brand new project that June and I are behind. It's called The Big 100. Follow The Big 100 on Instagram, and you'll kind of catch the idea from there. So follow The Big 100 on Instagram, and you'll understand that. A big thank you to everybody here at Earwolf, all of our engineers, July Diaz, Marissa Zeitz, Avril Halley, of course, Nate Kiley does all of our research, Leanna Waldron. We couldn't do the show without you. Tune in next week for a mini episode. Bye-bye.
Hi, Gilbert Gottfried here, reminding you that Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast is now on Earwolf. See, Earwolf, I don't really know about. Now, werewolves, that I know. If you told me we were going to be on a podcast network run by Maria Uspenskaya and Lon Chaney Jr., then I could get excited. Every week, my co-host Frank Santopadre and I take a fun look back at the movies, music, and TV shows we love and the performers we grew up watching. People like Dick Van Dyke, Adam West, Bruce Stern, Rich Little, Chevy Chase, Dick Cavett, and Mickey Dolenz, just to name a few. So check out the show Vanity Fair and LA Times called Gripping and Poignant and actor John Amos called The Place Where Celebrities Go to Die. Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast right here on our new home, Earwolf.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.